get commissioners.
Okay, yeah, we need to get together. Thank you.
Back, we're gonna be considering item number
986
next. 986. And do we have Commissioner Leonard on the phone for 986? We do, don't we?
Commissioner Leonard, are you still with us?
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for hanging in there.
Commissioner, I really appreciate you being on the phone for this particular issue.
Happy to do it.
So we have a quorum present, so can you please read the title for item 986?
Create the Office of Equity, establish council intent, and approve initial work plan.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. We had a wonderful hearing on August 31st where we had 3 hours of beautiful testimony from people of all walks of life on all parts of Portland talking about why the Office of Equity is needed. And it was really inspirational. Anybody who wonders why an Office of Equity is needed needs to watch at least part of that hearing, and I'll put the link to the video on my website so that you can do that. At the end of that hearing, the council directed Mayor Adams and me to come back today with a revised ordinance combining the new Office of Equity with the existing Office of Human Relations and including providing staffing for the Human Rights Commission in the revised ordinance. We have done at least 2 months' work in 2 weeks to be able to get this filed by last week. I, again, am inspired by the community who were expecting or hoping that we would be able to pass the ordinance that we had spent 6 months devising on August 31st and who said, okay, we will do as we have been asked. And I recognize that that has meant a significant commitment and give and take from a number of different parties to be able to get to that place. The council was very clear that, this is what it will take to move forward with the new initiative. We also need to be clear that we are changing the structure of the Office of Human Relations and the staffing for the Human Rights Commission from that was adopted back in 2008. There's been a very good work on all parties to try to make the structure work as it was set up, and we've discovered some practical impediments to being able to implement what the council envisioned back in 2008. So this revised structure begins to address those structural impediments. It's a first step, as Human Rights Commissioner Alan Lazo, who's with us today, outlined to the Human Rights Commission. This doesn't preclude further changes in the future. It provides ongoing staffing right now for the Human Rights Commission, and the ordinance expresses the full council's commitment to the Human Rights Commission to continue. It's a valuable component of our entire human rights system, and indeed will be a valuable addition to the Office of Equity and Human Rights, as the ordinance is now renamed, and the office is now renamed. So I appreciate the work that has been done in the last 2 weeks. We have two amendments that I am passing out, and Commissioner Leonard got these by email yesterday. Did I pass them out already?
No.
Okay, here we go. Actually, the bottom one, the one below is the first one. Commissioner Saltzman was concerned that the word senior in providing a senior staff position for the human, for the Human Rights Commission, that is letter H in the council directives. And I appreciate Commissioner Saltzman pointing out that since we didn't define senior, that wasn't a good way to word the ordinance. In discussions that I had had with the Human Rights Commission, I had promised that they will be staffed with an appropriately skilled policy specialist or coordinator. So I'm putting forward this amendment as a friendly amendment that specifies that that's what we mean by senior, so that it says that we will provide a staff position with within a pay grade range of 5 to 7 in the Office of Equity and Human Rights to assist the Human Rights Commission, and will consult with the Human Rights Commission to fill that position, as was previously promised. So it's adding specificity, and I appreciate Commissioner Saltzman's addition.
So I did want to speak to that.
Okay, the amendment, a motion has been made and has been seconded in discussion. Commissioner Leonard.
I am concerned about this amendment, and I'm sure it isn't intended to do what I think, in fact, it will do, but it actually somewhat ironically creates some inequity that I don't recall us ever doing in any other bureau, and that is actually specifying what a pay grade will be for a position. We have a really sophisticated process by which we identify positions, Bureau of Human Resources, and classify them according to the duties that accrue to that position. And I think it's inappropriate to actually identify what the pay grade range shall be in this position. I have no problem with saying that the BHR will do whatever it is they typically do to assess the responsibilities of a position, but I worry that whoever is within that pay grade would be singularly the only person working for the city who is confined to a range, whereas any other employee is assessed their responsibilities by the director, and then decisions are made to Bureau of Human Resources to reclassify us. I hope that we can reconsider the language used in this amendment.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. I appreciate that expressed concern. We were trying to be less specific. And Commissioner Salzman, do you want to address what would make you more comfortable, given Commissioner Leonard's concern?
We just wanted to, you know, leave it at a staff position.
It's legislative intent.
And so just delete senior
the pay grade language.
And delete the pay grade language.
Delete senior and just leave it at staff position, delete the pay grade.
With a question, regardless of
I would appreciate that.
Thank you.
Wordsmith this would still come back to us for approval, a new position?
Yes, the reclassification would come back to us. Thank you, Commissioner Fish. So I'm going to delete the addition of within a pay grade of 5 to 7 and keep the deletion of the word senior since that's undefined. But we have a good concept of what we are considering. It's not a second director. That was part of the direction from the council on August 31st. And it's a skilled person who will be able to provide the level of assistance needed to the Human Rights Commission.
And the legislative intent, my legislative intent, I think it's shared by others based on this discussion, is that obviously it'd be a very capable and experienced and effective position for the commission.
Thank you. Once again, we're making sausages here, but I think we're going to turn out a really delicious product. So that's our my first motion.
So we've moved and seconded with the noted changes to the written piece of paper on the handed out. Unless there's further discussion, Sue, can you please call further discussion? Did you have further discussion?
No.
Would you please call the vote on the motion?
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you to all of my colleagues for working through this together. Aye.
Fish.
It's one more.
Aye.
Been a long day already. All right, so it's been amended.
And then I have a second amendment request, which is, did you have a?
When you're done, I have just a procedural matter. I need you to take a roll on the substitute.
Yep, we will.
The second amendment is to add an emergency clause stating that in Section 2, the council declares that an emergency exists as delay will prevent moving forward with the hiring of the leadership that will refine and implement the work plan. Therefore, this ordinance shall be in full force and effect from and after its passage by the council.
So this is part of what some of us discussed for delaying it. We would add an emergency if there were support for that, so the delay actually wouldn't delay implementation in reality, as opposed to what happens up here. So it's been moved. I'll second. Any discussion on adding the emergency clause to this? Can you please call the vote on adding the emergency clause, and then we'll take a vote on the substitute.
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Approved.
I move the substitute.
There's been a motion to move the substitute as amended. Second, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Sue, can you please call the vote on the substitute?
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard. Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. We're now, the basis of further consideration is the substitute.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, colleagues. I'd like to invite to come testify Joe Vandeveer from the Portland Commission on Disability, Alan Lazo from the Human Rights Commission, Inga McDowell from the Urban League, and Casey Jama representing the Coalition of Communities of Color.
Please come forward.
Please begin.
Okay. Commissioner, Mayor Adams, Commissioners, I'm Joe Vandeveer, and I'm a commissioner on the Portland Commission on Disability, and I chair the Accessibility and the Built Environment Subcommittee for the commission, and that subcommittee deals with housing and transportation issues. I submitted written testimony earlier today, so I'm just going to give you the highlights of that, and those are simply, in the interest of time, I'll keep it short, those are simply, I strongly encourage you all to vote in favor of this initiative. The Disability Commission supports this strongly, and we would like to see a unanimous vote for future council to look back on and know the importance of this initiative. The second point I want to make is simply that I would ask you to be generous in funding this initiative, because it's well, the Disability Commission sees this as a way to leverage the work that we're already doing, the work that we've been setting up and implementing over the last 2 years, and we think that this office will be a way to move forward rapidly with that work, or to proceed more in a more targeted and more direct way in accomplishing our goals. And so I think it's kind of obvious that the more resources such an office has, the better we can do our work for the city. That's it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Mr. Commissioner.
Good afternoon now, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Alan Lazo. I'm the incoming chair of the Human Rights Commission. I come here today from two different places, both as the incoming chair of the Human Rights Commission, a body who over the past 6 months has had its own difficulties and struggles, but also as a person of color who has lived in the city of Portland or this area for more than 40 years, and I certainly recognize the importance of the work that we're hoping to move forward today together. Both of those perspectives for me came together here as we began doing this vital work over the past 3 weeks since the first reading of this ordinance. And both have played in bringing forth the work that we've been doing. As a member of the Human Rights Commission, I'm pleased to be sitting here with my colleagues, after having worked to help find a resolution that will allow the Human Rights Commission to move our work forward and continuing our work to end discrimination, bigotry, and racism. Our commission certainly acknowledges the difficult path that has led us to this point. We recognize the challenges ahead. We've been working to engage each of you in those challenges, as well as our successes, and will continue to do so in the future. The Human Rights Commission is grateful for your continued support of our work, and we look forward to continuing to serve our community as an independent body committed to upholding the rights of all. As the son of immigrant parents who have lived in the Portland area for a time that now spans 5 decades, I'm honored to be part of this process. And it's from that perspective that I ask you to consider from your hearts what it is you're supporting this afternoon. Sitting here before you this morning and reflecting over the past 3 weeks since the time when this room was filled with hundreds of supporters, my thoughts have actually gone outside of this room, beyond those who came to support us that afternoon. My thoughts have gone out to the literally thousands of others who likely will never show up in this room, to the thousands of others who will never even know that this effort has existed. But what we're doing here today has the real potential to positively affect the lives of those thousands who are not even here asking you to undertake that mission. Before I close, it's not lost on me the change in this room from the discussion you were just having that included equity and other things on the new building on sustainability. There's a distinct change in the room, and don't hear it as a criticism that distinct change was a lot of white men in suits left this room. And you were talking about a $1 billion project. We're here talking about a much smaller project. So that's not lost on me. Can you imagine a day when that perspective is a little bit different? I'll return to my script. Today we stand before a vast undertaking that has the real potential to make a difference for so many who have not and may never lend their voice of support, but who so urgently deserve our support. It's for all these people that I'm asking you to join me this afternoon, in supporting the creation of the Office of Equity and Human Rights and its mission to help ensure Portland is as equitable a place as it is sustainable, green, bike-friendly, and, of course, weird. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Jama.
Good afternoon, Mayor, and good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Casey Jama. I am the Executive Director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing, and also I'm a member of the Coalition of Community of Color. As Alan said, I came to this process about 2.5 months or so when the creation committee started its work. But my work with this equity issue in the city of Portland has started years back. I would like to take this opportunity, first of all, to thank all the creation committee members. I have witnessed a dedicated community members who love Portland, who care Portland, but also care about equity and make sure that we have a city that works for all its residents. Having said that, I also know that we're not going to be fixing equity today. We're not going to make the change necessary today. Actually, if we vote this office, which I'm hoping that we're going to be voting for, our work just begun. And that's one of the excitement part of that I have, is that I'm hoping that when we work all of us in this office, this room, we have to search our soul and realize that we need to start the process of healing and building, but also commitment of accountability. I have witnessed in this room that there's so many times resolutions has been passed, and sometimes things just been forgotten. And I am hoping that this time it's going to be different, that what we're going to be focusing is accountability, where we can say 5 years from now, there is a reasonably measurable outcomes that we strive to make equity for possible for all Oregonians. I also want to conclude and say that the organization is a working community of color, the immigrant refugees, the people who care Portland deeply and care equity deeply will continue to work on this issue. I hope that this office is going to be not working silo, but it will be in partnership with the entire 30 plus bureaus that we have. We have to make the changes across the board. We cannot make it quick fix, feel good. So in my conclusion, I want to say change is not cheap. Equity is not a cheap thing. We have to do the investment necessary to correct the wrongs that take place in the city. I refer to this process when one of the media folks asked me, I said, when this house we are sitting here is being built, it wasn't built for the people who built it. They were not expecting who is going to be living in this house. They didn't build everyone. They built it for specific people. And now we're trying to expand this house to have a room for everyone. For in that note, I encourage you and I urge you to vote yes for passing Office of Equity. Thank you.
Hi, welcome back.
Thanks. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Ingrid McDowell, and I'm the community organizer for the Urban League of Portland. I'm also a former Portland Public School educator and a longtime member of the community. I'm here to support passage of the ordinance creating the Office of Equity and Human Rights and to reinforce our view that this is critical for the future of our community and city. On behalf of the Urban League of Portland, I would like to thank Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fritz for presiding over such an inclusive process, and Commissioners Fish, Saltzman, and Leonard for engaging with the community on such an important issue. Through an Office of Equity, we have the opportunity to implement a central equity strategy that incorporates and builds on the best equity practices and aims to improve the lives of families I see and work with every day. As an educator, I saw a lot of students of color who were falling behind in school. This is not only because the schools were failing students, it's because the stressors they face at home and in their communities are often a result of poverty and absence of opportunities. Their parents have disproportionately lower median family incomes and earnings than whites, higher rates of unemployment and foreclosures, as well as higher rates of severe and costly health conditions. Their parents are more likely to be discriminated against when looking to rent or buy housing. We believe that this level of disparity is unsustainable for our community, for our city, and for all Portlanders. While we support the inclusion of human rights in the ordinance, we want to be sure that we retain the focus of the office that will work with city bureaus and other bodies to achieve healthy communities, jobs, high-quality education, and economic opportunities that benefit all Portlanders. We want to see the office develop an advancing equity outcomes. We want to see the office develop an infrastructure in the city to foster best practices, develop a systemic approach to advancing equitable outcomes, developing tools for analyzing social and racial impacts, and guide decision-making. An office that can help implement the Portland Plan, our roadmap for achieving a more equitable city. Our community needs a unified strategy and approach to the challenges that continue to worsen as our economic crisis takes its toll. Hundreds of community members and organizations have committed time and resources towards letting you know how we feel. We have outlined what we want from this office and why we think this is important for our community. I urge you to listen and to vote yes on the Office of Equity and Human Rights. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Appreciate it. We have 6 people signed up. Is that right? 5 people signed up. Okay.
Would Gary Hollins come up? Gerald Delaney? Dan Handelman, and they'll be followed by Joanne Hardesty and...
Are you calling 3 or 4?
Just calling 3 right
now. Let's do 4.
4, Joanne Hardesty.
Ms. Hardesty, would you come up here, please? Let me get this chair for you.
Right.
Don't get used to it either.
Well, thank you.
Please begin.
Gerald Delaney, today I'm representing the Portland African American Leadership Forum. When I was first here before City Council, that was with the Coalition of Communities of Color. And we talked about the racial disparities, the racial ethnic disparities that we have within Multnomah County and the City of Portland. And we know that it's unacceptable. I think it's what has driven the creation of the Office of Equity. It has made Portland, Multnomah County, one of the worst places in the city, in the United States of America to live. And I think that everybody here was inspired and said, hey, we need to do something about this. So as we've gone through this, the next time I came back was when the city of Portland talked about its contracting with minorities and women. Worst ever. I mean, those kind of statistics were horrible. Then we turned around the same day and went down to PDC. It turned out to be the very same thing, that PDC is not contracting with people of color, and they actually put out a report saying that they're responsible for a lot of the ills that we have right now, and that their investments or their development dollars have not gone to the communities of color. Now, I have, and this may make me one of the people in the room that you really don't want to hear from. But, you know, this whole conversation has gone to the Office of Equity, to the Office of Everything. Hmm. And I have a real problem with that, because we start talking about race, something that it makes us all uncomfortable. Nobody wants to talk about it. Oregon has a horrible system of race, record on race from 1859 to 1930 to 1950 to 1960, all the way up until right now. Things are getting worse for people of color. So if we don't address that right now, we have a hodgepodge of everybody here. But I'll tell you this, of all those groups that are respected, that are represented here, race is still an issue with inside those numbers. If you make race better, you make it better for everybody. Every group that's sitting up here, if you address race and say race is the issue and we do something about eliminating racism in this city, then we take that courageous step and we have done something. But until we take the courage to talk about race and the impact of race on this city and this county, this state, then we've avoided the opportunity that we have given ourselves right now. Because the conversation's on the table. We know that 45% of all the children in our school system here are children of color. That number is not going down. And so what's going to happen to us is we're going to have a city that is full of children of color, people of color, and those issues still are not addressed. So I urge you right now, I want you to pass this, but I want it to be refocused. I want to get to the meat and the reason why we're all sitting at this table. Because really, if not for the Urban League report and the Coalition of Communities of Color report, we would not be sitting down right here. We would not be having that conversation. So now let's have the courage to do what we came here to do.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Handelman.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. Even those by phone. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch, and we were glad to see the revised ordinance has added human rights to the purview of the Office of Equity, including the Human Rights Commission. We think it's a good step forward because the HRC was not consulted about the Equity Office subsuming the Office of Human Relations and therefore their staff, budget, and potentially any power that they were given just 3 years ago when they were created. While this new proposal goes a long way to integrating the HRC into the Equity Office, it does not fully restore their authority from the existing code. Previous city code requires that the director of the Office of Human Relations could only be removed by council, as in the entire council, upon request of the mayor and only after consideration of the recommendation of the Human Rights Commission. There are no provisions in the new code for all of council to take responsibility for the staff of Equity Office or of the Human Rights Commission in this way. Moreover, the HRC no longer has a say in whether their own staff will be terminated. That provision was part of the showdown between Commissioner Fritz and former OHR Director Marilius Johnson earlier this year. In essence, she was forced to resign because had she been fired, the council would have had to hear from the Human Rights Commission how much they supported her. Instead, the ordinance, which is different from the code that you're going to be adopting, states that the director of the Equity and the Human Rights Office will work with the commissioner in charge and consult with the HRC to fill what is now not called a senior staff position anymore, to assist the HRC. And I'm kind of confused why we didn't just add the word dedicated to that to make sure that that person is for the Human Rights Commission. It seems clear the original code was meant to have all of city council take responsibility and assert that the Human Rights Commission is independent and is not part of the silo mentality. It's not clear in the new code that that's how this new office is going to work. In addition, the new ordinance, again, not the new code, directs the City Office of Equity and Human Rights must work with the City Attorney's Office to help meet the city's legal obligations to protect and advance the civil rights of all persons. This is the same City Attorney's Office that went to bat trying to defend the officers who beat James Chassy Jr. to death in 2006. Do you think that's the right place to go to ensure everyone's civil rights are being upheld? I ask. The HRC has been pushing the Charter Commission to add Human Rights Commission to the city charter. We support that as part of a broader vision with the HRC, the Independent Police Review Division, and the Ombudsman are all established in the charter and are given their own counsel to prevent conflicts of interest between human rights and the city's indiscriminate desire to defend itself against lawsuits. The new ordinance also adds the Commission on Disability to come from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, which is reasonable to include that in equity efforts, but it doesn't escape our attention that the Human Rights Commission's letter to City Council condemning the sidewalk management ordinance as an affront to human rights pointed out that CITLIV 4.0's reliance on the Americans with Disabilities Act didn't promote human rights, but rather pitted people who are poor and homeless against people with disabilities while acknowledging there are people who bridge both categories. We urge Council to back HRC's independence by adding code language similar to the existing language in the OHR and HRC language.
Thanks, Mr. Hendeman. Welcome.
Thank you. Introduce myself. My name is Gary Hollins. I've just been elected to the Monoma Education Service District, representing over 133,000 Portlanders for Zone 1, which is primarily North and Northeast Portland. I'm also here. I got two hats on. I'm also here as a young business owner. It'll be as a group of us young business owners that get together once a month and have discussions. And one of the discussions that came up was the Office of Equity. So what I'm here advocating for is two things. Advocating that we have a generational, sustainable future for our kids, our grandkids, and our great-grandkids. Another thing I'm advocating for is for our young business owners that we have a business environment that will foster and support our growth as we bring more jobs and business here to Portland. And I'm a more of a solution-oriented person, so we came up with around four things that we figured the Office of Equity can do. One of them is the MWESB, which is Minority Women Emerging Small Business Requirements, should mirror the workforce requirements. We've been looking at it for a long time, and you know, they have all these aspirational goals, which is great. But the workforce actually has some hard requirements that, you know, either you do it or this will happen. And so we're thinking that the MWESB requirements should mirror that as well. Another thing is with the four workforce guidelines, we think that all the apprenticeable trades should be included, i.e. trucking. A lot of the apprenticeable trades are included except for trucking. We also think that as the Office of Equity should identify contracting opportunities where more small businesses can be utilized as opposed to one. In an example, the Bureau of Environmental Services has a hauling bid that's out there. But the requirements for this, requirements for this bid is that a company has four trucking pups to get out all this stuff out in 2 days. Most small businesses doesn't have that capacity, and that's something that could be identified to say, you know what, we can break this up to make it more advantageous for a smaller business to get. And the other thing is that, which I haven't heard too much here, is that the Office of Equity should have a goal to where the Office of Equity is no longer needed. And I think if they work back from that model, then they can, you know, put their goals and agendas up to where that should be, what shouldn't be needed. So we do support the Office of Equity. We ask that you guys support the Office of Equity as well. And it's one thing my wife gave me this morning. She said, diversity is something you can see, but inclusion is something that you feel. Thank you.
Ms. Hardesty.
Mrs. Hardesty, thank you, Mayor.
Mrs. Hardesty. We'll get it right someday.
Commission members, for the record, I am Joanne Hardesty, and I am here in support of the resolution in front of you to create the Office of Equity, including the Human Relations Commission. I want to say what a difference a few weeks make. I really appreciate all the hard work that's actually gone into developing a resolution that will be supported by the entire council, is my hope today. I also happened to be here earlier, and as someone else mentioned, saw all the suits in here talking about the tens of millions of dollars that we want to spend to create this Office of Sustainability, or this Sustainability Center. And it wasn't lost on me that until Commissioner Nick Fish brought up the word equity, it wasn't mentioned for the first hour and a half. And I'm sure that the question of equity that Commissioner Fish mentioned didn't have anything to do with how are people of color going to benefit from building this very expensive building downtown. and nobody that testified today had anything to say about how communities of color will benefit from that effort. Now, unless if you're talking about some short-term construction jobs, which is fine and dandy, but that's short-term. And if we're talking about paying for this over a 30-year period of time, I'm amazed at all the great minds that were in front of us didn't come up and talk about creating an environmental justice program that would be staffed by high school students who are learning about the environment before they head off to college. I mean, I thought about that just sitting back there in a chair. But we had all these great minds that said, oh, yeah, we could build this, and this is going to be fabulous and wonderful. So my hope is that once the Office of Equity exists, it won't take us 3 years to figure out how people of color are included in a city effort. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Just to respond to that point, hearing was going long, and I wanted to get to this one, so I didn't ask some of the questions that I'd asked behind the scenes. But that to that question, there are going to be a significant component of both PSU and PCC classes in the new center, which both of those communities have a significant diverse studentship. So
the first invited panel had spoke to the issue of equity. So it is an issue that we care about. That specific project, not only for the construction but the ongoing operations of it. So it'll be replayed on. You can watch it online. Alan Hippolito worked very hard on it, led efforts to work very hard on it. So your point is made in terms of getting the whole city to care about this issue. So I absolutely, and we are working hard on, if you saw Alan's testimony, we're working hard on everything. But we got a long ways to go. So I don't agree with your characterization of it specifically, but I definitely agree with the sentiments.
We have aspirations, yes. Thank you.
Well, there are a lot. Joanne, there are. Let it go. I'm going to let it go.
Part of the reason this office is needed is so that we can continue to discuss and debate these difficult issues and make sure that we get to the outcomes that we
next four.
See.
It's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have two more. I believe it's Shannon Ganny Smith and Promise King.
Can you believe that?
No. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, welcome back. Do we have a third person?
No, that's all.
Okay, great.
The third person is Sharon Gary Smith. And thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I come today as a representative of the city, as a taxpayer, and as the new executive director of Oregon's 35-year Social Justice Philanthropic Foundation, McKenzie River Gathering Foundation. We're in the business of ensuring that those who strive for, who hunger for justice, equity, recognition of their community-based leadership, the folks on the ground who are doing the work to ensure justice, equity, and equality is not just an aspirational intent, but has some legs under it as you're giving in this resolution, this initiative, so that all of us, those who are often called other, whether based on ability, economic situation, geographic, where they live, where they have to go to school, that all of us, people of color, and specifically those who've been locked down and marginalized, get to participate in this sustainable future that many of us are already doing now. I do want to appreciate having sat and listened to those who are called Suits, which incidentally is one of my favorite TV shows now. I was appreciative that the academic and the technology community and those who are talking about utilizing, even throwing around equity and diversity and stakeholders, that they could talk about multi-million dollar investment that would pay off 30 years from now. And then I recall, and would not have to go into depth, what Mr. Deloney said about what 30 years ago looked like and 30 years before that and 30 years to today. So we are at what I'd like to consider a historic moment. I'm saddened that in 2011 we have struggled to this moment. but falling forward is what my mother always taught me. You get up and you fall forward. You don't retreat. You don't go back. And so I would like to propose to you that not only is this office of equity and human rights, I know it's relations, but I'm talking about rights, our right to assume that the silver spoon that many have tasted would allow each of us to get a taste, that Portland would be as much a model, not just talking about invoking the words of diversity and equality, but a true beacon in this country for what it takes to get there. And that's how I see this moment. And all the background work and all the backroom work is necessary, messy, and beneficial to all of us. So that I ask for you to not only do the work of ensuring today, but to do the work from today that keeps us moving forward. I worked out a deal in the restroom, a wonderful place to be in between. Some of the participants that were at this table said, I hope and wish you well on your next presentation, assuming that I was here for this moment. I said, you've already done all the talking. I think we should raise the ante. $500,000, and there were no bells before. $500,000. I want multi-millions of my money to be spent to ensure this city has access, opportunity, and equality. And you can make that happen today. It's good for you, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. King, welcome back.
Thank you. My name is Promise King. I'm the executive director of Orango League of Minority Voters. Many of you bear the scars of fighting for equal opportunities. You bear the scars of fighting for civil rights. Commissioner Fricks, Mayor Adam, Nick Fish, and Commissioner Sussman. You have been in the battle. You know what it is. But we are here today because of our past. We had a past that's laden with sad, sad story about discrimination. We're here because we live in a state that actually was had the exclusionary, the only state of the union in the past that was allowed to have exclusionary laws. The only state in the union. So we're here because our past we inherited is not the past I want to give to my son. So when we see a lot of contrast, sehudent, when we see city systems, sehudent in abundance, we ask, where is equity? When we see millions and billions of dollars in conversation about growing someone else's dream, and we don't see equity, we ask why. Tonight or today is not just a conversation about some office or some program or some staff. Today is a conversation about dreams, about our values as a city, about where we ought to be in the next 30 years. Today is not just about conversation about an office. Today is a conversation about our unity as a people. About our unity as a people in quandary. Beat me up when in quandary of how we resolve our nasty division, racial division. Beat me up when in quandary, when people in quandary seeking solution to how we can unite. But I tell you that this hour, this time, you can at least begin that step. Not by platitudes or but by taking real action, taking real steps. So when we see opportunities pass by in self-sanctioned government systems, and no one raises a beep, we ask why. But you have a solution. Don't mind the naysayers who say, oh, this is not well thought out, this is not well fashioned. We at Oregon League of Minority Voters, we're doing a regional equity initiative. All across this region, we're asking people to start up for equity. So don't worry about the nitty-gritty and all of those stuff. We will be here to support the office. We will bring the bell of our knowledge, of our expertise from Oregon Legal Minority Voters. We will be here. So I ask you to do the right thing for our future, for our children, for our values as a city.
Thank you. Thank you both. Appreciate it. All right. Unless there's additional council discussion, Sue, would you please call the vote?
Saltzman.
Well, I guess it was 3 weeks ago that we had our public hearing. And at that time, I raised questions about having a separate human relations office and a separate office of equity with two directors over two small offices. So today we're looking at a combined office of equity and human rights. There will be one executive director and director?
Yes, not
oh, I'm sorry.
It's the city bureau's director.
And then there will be a small nucleus of six, maybe seven staff who will then staff both the Human Rights Commission and also the Office of Equity under the supervision of the commissioner in charge, Amanda Fritz. So to me, that's a big step forward because, as I also raised last week, you know, money does matter. And this combined office budget is $1.1 million per year in ongoing city funds. And while it's important that we work on these issues, it's also important to recognize these are not direct service provider city services. $1.1 million a year can buy a lot of swimming pool hours, can buy a lot of mental health crisis workers, can buy a lot of other important city services. So I am here to express my support today, but I'm also going to say I'll be watching very closely. And as I said 3 weeks ago, too, if the Office of Equity and Human Rights becomes nothing more than brown bags, film series, diversity dialogues, all of which we already have within the city, then you will not have achieved success. You need to achieve tangible practices, things that city employees can get, city supervisors can get, not abstract conversations about whether it's social equity or racial equity. If that's all you become is messed in those debates, then you will have failed, and I will be watching the budget closely, and I will not be supporting $1.1 million of ongoing funds a year if you fail. If you succeed, and I hope you do, then we will all be better off as a city and as a society. But as I said, it's going to be something I will be watching closely, and I'm pleased to offer my support and thank Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fritz for their hard work. But I will be watching this closely, and I hope it succeeds. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you. This will not fail. We cannot fail. Our future depends on it. The prosperity of our city and the wealth of our citizens depends on it. There have been so many attempts in the past to address the known disparities that have grown over centuries. And this is a data-based, strategic, action-oriented, specifically looking to get results with actions. We have 19 actions from the March Portland Plan. We have another 14 from the latest draft, 13 principles in the draft work plan. And that's just for starts. That's before we even hire an expert director. We'll be doing a nationwide search for that. The Creation Committee will be reconvening next week to start work right on that. We share your urgency, Commissioner Saltzman. We cannot wait for these changes to be seen and experienced in our neighborhoods. Diversity is something that you can see, but inclusion is something that you feel, and there's a lot of people who do not feel included in our city. So I started last night devising a list of people to thank and quickly realized that I would miss somebody out and that there are so many people who've been involved in this on so many levels that I'm not going to name any particular person. There's the community members, the city staff, the Creation Committee, and its consultants. Thank you all. Thank you, each one of you who came again today, who gave up your time during the workday to come in to support this work. We can't do it without you, and this is the difference between, I think, between one of the differences between this work and what has been done before. It's a partnership. It's a collaboration. And it's a partnership and a collaboration with people who don't inherently trust each other because we have experienced such hurt and such damage, and we're not where we want to be to start off with. So we recognized that 6 months ago. I recognized I was going to say things in a way that would make people mad and that I would then learn because people would be kind and tell me, I don't think you meant that, but this is what I heard. We're going to keep doing that, and we have to keep doing that. Portland Polite has been the norm for so long that we don't talk about racial injustice. We don't talk about injustice for people with disabilities. We shy away from that because many of us can think that we're doing just fine, thank you. We're not doing just fine, thank you. And the future of our city, the prosperity of everyone, including the suits. And I have to mention that I have been married to a man who often wears suits. And it's his birthday today, so I want to, maybe I can be forgiven for thanking him for the number of hours that I don't get to stay, be at home. That is appreciated. But the men who hold high places must be the ones to start to build a new reality closer to the heart. And that's what we're seeing today, is that the men on the city council are partnering with me as the woman, the immigrant, on the council to forge this new reality. Just as the founders of our nation started out saying that all men are created equal, and yet the men had to vote to give women the vote. And the men, the white men, voted to the Civil Rights Act. And those without disabilities voted for the Americans with Disabilities Act. This is how we build community. This is how we become the America that I chose to move to, so that everybody can experience the American dream. And this office has been disparaged as being not specific enough and not needed, a waste of money. There is no more important use of taxpayers' money than making sure that everybody has access to good jobs and that everybody has services in their neighborhoods, and that people services are just as much services as putting in streets, although while we're at it, let's make sure that we put in streets where they're needed and that different neighborhoods have the services they need. This office is going to be helping guide, educate, direct, and provide the accountability to give the feedback to city bureaus to start off with, leading with race and ethnicity and also focusing on people with disability. That's our charge for the first year. And we're not going to have a massive turnaround in the first year, but we are going to have some specific measurable products that we will bring to council on a regular basis because we all share the urgency. We cannot wait to make these improvements. This has been a difficult process, and again, I laud everybody who has put their personal needs and their personal opinions aside to look to the common good and to dare to hope that this could be different, that this could be the work that we could join in together that would get Portland over the hump to be not only the most sustainable city in the country, but the most just and the place where everybody feels welcome, that businesses would move here knowing that their employees and their CEOs would feel welcome here because there'd be a society where everybody feels that they have access to opportunities. A few months ago, Commissioner Fish invited me to the opening of Bud Clark Commons, which is a beautiful $49 million building. And I was very happy to support the provision of services for people who live outside and the coordination of services for people who need a little extra help. And I thought at the time, though, that certainly in my first term on the city council, I'm not going to be opening a $49 million building. And this isn't the opening of anything. This is the design work. This is all of us figuring out who needs to be at the table and to put out the request for proposals for the director and the figuring out of how to move forward. So I do envision that we will get to a building that's a building of community, that's a building where we all feel that we have been heard and that our needs are being met, and that we can do that within 5 years, I believe, because this need is so urgent and the skills of the folks who are here and the skills in the community. There's so much support for this. And if you watching at home haven't heard that, haven't experienced that, go talk to your neighbors. Go talk to people who might be able to give you a different perspective and listen. that's a lot of what this is about, too, is listening to each other and recognizing that we don't have all the answers. If somebody did that, have been defined, and I'd have a beautiful 20-point list for you that we could get done by next week. That's not what we're doing here. We're building the House of Community together. So thank you so much. And again, thank you to my colleagues on the council for supporting this. Thank you, Mayor Adams, for your leadership, your insistence that we do this differently, that we do this data in a data-driven way and based on research. Thank you to the communities of color and the Urban League for providing some of that data. And this and better will do. Thank you so much. Aye.
Fish.
Fish.
Thank you. Well, we're poised today to unanimously support the creation of a new bureau. And I think we need to give credit where credit's due. And I believe there are three indispensable parties that deserve acknowledgement today. First, a mayor who in his State of the City address put a marker down and said he will create an Office of Equity. Without leadership and vision, very little happens in government. So Mayor Adams, thank you for putting the marker down and putting your full weight behind it. Second, Mayor Adams designated Commissioner Fritz to do some of the hard work. And I know how hard it was. I spent a day with her and Dora in one of the many community conversations, and I went home exhausted. I also came back wanting to steal Dora from my team, because if you haven't been in a process that she has facilitated, it's world class. And she has this gift for putting people at ease and allowing people to speak truth to each other in a comfortable setting. But as we acknowledge Mayor Adams' leadership and all the hard work that Commissioner Fritz has done, let's also acknowledge that the reason we are poised to do this today is because the community has demanded that we do this. And the community that's represented here and has been in our prior hearings and that has emailed us and written us, it is the community that spoke loudly and said, we demand that you do this. Without all three, we would not be here today to celebrate a unanimous vote. Someone earlier testified, I forget his name, he looks familiar. He said today's vote is about our dreams and our values. How many times do we get to cast a vote that speaks to our dreams and our values? How many times do we have the privilege of casting a vote which marries both our dreams and our values and has the chance to change our community for the better? I believe this is a historic vote. I want to thank the people that took the time to visit with me and talk about this issue. As they know, I've been there from the beginning, but I also wanted to make sure the whole council got there together. So Casey and Julia and Joanne, and the list goes on and on. We had frank discussions, and they were very helpful. And along the way, I believe this legislation got better because of your advocacy. And today, I think the final piece, a unanimous council that is committed not just to equity, but the merger of these two great ideas of equity and human rights in one bureau, strengthening both, accountable to a director and to the council. This is significant progress. Sam and Amanda, congratulations. This is your win, and to the community, this is your win. And I'm proud to join with my colleagues in voting aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to begin by lauding, recognizing, and thanking the perseverance, the smarts, and hard work of Commissioner Amanda Fritz on this issue. When we discussed this over the past year or so, we knew it would be hard, but we also knew it was the. We also both believe that it was the kind of hard work that is very very exhilarating, and it is the reason that we all seek public service. But I want to thank you. You've been the thin edge, the wedge on this issue, and I'm incredibly grateful. I get to assign commissioners tasks from time to time, and I do what I can to help them along the way, but this is a huge victory for Commissioner Fritz and on behalf of what the city needs more than anything right now is solutions and results when it comes to equity, when it comes to equal opportunity, when it comes to human rights. And What I talked about last February was about race and about geography. So it's important to note that this is the first time this city council has ever said explicitly race and disability, not to the exclusions of others, but appropriately, as we heard from Sharon and others, that if we can make progress on ability and on race, we make progress for everybody, whether you happen to identify with those categories or not. Everybody benefits. So I want to thank the City Council